Okay, he deserves at least that much, doesn't he? Huh? Praise God. Sweet worship tonight, man. Thank you so much. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Take your Bibles with me, please. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're just so excited that you're here. We hope that you've enjoyed our just a time of in His presence and worshiping Him. What we do is we go verse by verse through the New Testament on Sunday mornings. We're currently in Acts. And then we're reading through the Bible, one year using the one-year Bible, two-year plan. This year we're reading through the New Testament. So on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we teach from the section you've read that week. So we're all going through the Bible together and we're on the same page. Okay? Colossians chapter 1. Let me just give you a little background about Colossae here. Colossae was located in Asia Minor. It was not considered a real large city in Paul's day. It's pretty certain that Paul had never visited the city of Colossae before. But as you read this letter, you find that he genuinely cares for these people. Paul writes to the Colossians while in prison in Rome around the same time as the epistles were written to Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. I want to just tonight take maybe three verses, and just kind of eavesdrop on one of Paul's prayers. I want us to see how Paul prayed for the church of Colossae, and maybe we could kind of just learn some things from that. Pick it up at, we'll pick it up verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge. The Greek word epignosis means precise and correct. Knowledge by experience. The word will, what one wishes or has determined shall be done, of what God wishes to be done by us. Will, choice, inclination, desire, pleasure. God wants us to know His will. God has specific purpose for your life. You know, I think we've been kind of just hammering on this for several studies, not intentionally, just happens to be where the studies go, man. God has specific purpose for your life. He has desires and wishes for your life, but these are things in which it appears I have the ability to choose not to accept. So we've been talking quite a bit about God's will, and we talked about it a bit this morning on what that's all about. And just, you know, as I look at this and look at this verse, we just have to ask the question, what is God's will for my life? You know, what is it? Well, we've been doing quite a bit of this. Let me just give you three general areas of what God's will is for your life. Number one, God's will is for us to be saved. That's His will. 1 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any perish, but for all to come to repentance. Life is kind of like an independent study course, where you work all semester on your own, but there will be a time when the semester ends and you will receive a grade from the professor based on how you did. The problem is that each of us is failing the course. Each of us have sinned and we've fallen below a grade. We have fallen below the curve. We're failing the course. But instead of just getting an F, the consequence of failing the course of life, you know, is to be punished for our sins. And that is something that none of us wants to do. That's, you know, we're going through life. We try to measure up. We can't make it. The result of that, I fail. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of failing is not just an F on my report card. The wages of failing is eternal separation from God. But Jesus became a man, lived a perfect life, became an acceptable sacrifice to die in our place. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. And because He paid for my sins, I have the ability to actually be forgiven by God. But there's a catch. And the only catch is that I receive the gift that God offers me. And I have to be willing to admit that I have failed. I have to be willing to admit that I can't make it on my own. I have to be willing to admit that I need help. See, does God want to save me? Absolutely. He wants me to save so much that He sent His Son to die in my place. That's God's will. God's will is that none would perish. God's will is that everybody would be saved. That's His will. Secondly, God's will is that we live in a place that pleases Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. One of the ways that we can live that pleases Him is when we do not give in to temptations towards sexual relationships outside of marriage. God wants us to control our bodies in a way that pleases Him. You know, it's amazing to me that I deal with people all the time that are intimidated by God's will. We talked about it this morning, taking that first step, step by step. We're afraid to take that first step because we're afraid, you know, what God's going to do. We're really not too sure what His will is. And His will may be totally contrary to what I think it ought to be. It may just be poles apart from what I really desire. And we're frightened of God's will. They think that if they yield to God, that He will take all the fun out of their life and He will make them do horrible things and make them really weird and strange like we are and really do some really, you know, strange stuff. Well, not so. Romans chapter 12. We're going to do it again, Ronnie. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You want to do it?
Sure.
Go ahead. As we give ourselves to Him and we allow Him to do in our lives and allow Him to keep changing us to be more and more like Him, we will prove to ourselves and to the world that God's will is wonderful. God's will is perfect. We just heard it quoted. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. God's will is perfect. It is absolutely awesome. God is in the process of conforming us into His image. And when we take those steps, when we dare to take that first step, and when we dare to submit ourselves to His will, no matter the consequence, no matter what His purpose is for our lives, when we begin to do that, there will be such an awe and a joy that the world will see that following Jesus Christ is a wonderful thing. For a long time, the world has seen that, you know, walking with Jesus Christ is a real drag. Because you see all of these, you know, poor Christians, and they're really weird and strange and down and upset, and they never smile. And, you know, they're wondering why, you know, nobody comes to Jesus through them. You know, how you doing? I'm a Christian and having a wonderful time in life. Thank you very much. God bless you. You ought to have what I have, and you can be as joyful as I am. You know, it's a wonder they're not knocking our doors down saying, "Great, I want that. I would love to be as sour as you are." You know. But when we understand that when we simply yield to Him and submit to Him, there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. There just begins to bubble up inside of us an excitement about Jesus Christ. When we stop trying to manipulate and make things happen our way, and we finally surrender and say, "Not my will, but yours be done, and I'll do whatever you want, and I surrender to you," there begins to be a peace and a calm and a joy that you just can't contain. I think I've shared this before, that I just compare that to having a case of the gospel gas. You know, it just kind of bubbles up inside, man. You can't ever, you keep burping it up, man. But there's this joy that you can't control. See, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if I'm in His presence, there is a joy. There's an excitement. So I have to assume, when I'm dealing with a very sour Christian who hasn't smiled in the last 15 years, you know, because, oh, poor me, you know, the Igor Christians, right? You know, Igor, just all that kind of, you know, just give me a break, man. I have to assume they're not spending time in the presence of God. I remember when we were raising our children, and they would get angry at me. You know how little kids do, and they're not going to ever speak to me again. Or they're never going to smile again. You ever, you know, they make me so mad, they're going to pout the rest of their lives. You know, and so they have this face, no matter what you do, it's not going to break. They're going to pout. They're mad because you are the meanest person in the whole wide world. Okay. I used to love that because it would just cause me to do things to make them smile. Okay. Making faces. I'd do a little creepy mouse thing that I do, you know, and then they would begin, you know, and they don't want to smile, man. You know, and pretty soon they're just busting up. That's the way it is in the presence of the Lord. You can't go into His presence and sit in His presence and experience His presence and just stay down and upset and all messed. You just can't do it, man. You just walk into His presence and just, I dare you, dear God, you know, to give me some joy. You just can't sit there like that. Because in His presence there is fullness of joy. So when we finally discover and understand, and it doesn't make any difference what our lot in life is, man. You know, we have people from every segment of society in this church. And I don't know why, but we do. We have the down and outs, and we have the up and outs. And we have everything in between, and it's so cool. Just to see that none of that makes any difference about joy. Doesn't make any difference how much money we have in the bank or how much money we don't have in the bank. Or whether we can pay our bills or can't pay our bills. Or whether you like our job or don't like our job. None of that has to do with anything with joy. Joy has to do with experiencing the presence of God. And realizing that I'm being conformed into His image. And I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God. Which is my reasonable service of worship. Which is the right thing to do. And when we understand that, you know, when you finally understand that God got a hold of your life, not to take anything away from you, but to give you eternal life and to give you joy and peace and happiness, and you know, just it's exciting. You know, sometimes just the world looks at you and says, "You're weird. Why are you smiling all of the time? Why are you laughing? The world's going down the tubes. Do you see what's happening in the political arena? Do you see what's going on? The rage on the..." I just know that Jesus loves me and I'm going to heaven pretty soon and it's cool. And I don't know. Call me a dork if you want to, but I love Jesus and I have a smile on my face because none of that really matters. Am I making sense to you? You know, I mean, I vote and we're going to give you some voting guides next week and so forth. And, you know, I believe in the system and I love the system and we need to do that. But I want to tell you, be careful, Chuck. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And it doesn't make any difference what happens. His purpose, His plan is still going to be effectuated. Amen. Is that okay? You know? I see Christians going bananas because they're afraid. Oh, if that guy gets in, the whole world's going to go. Jesus is still in control. All right? He's still calling the shots. In fact, He has said He puts all authority where it is. So it's His fault. Okay? If you know who gets elected, it's, you know, it's His fault because He put it all there, man. So it's God's will, man, you know, that we're being conformed into His image and that there's a joy. The enemy's ripped so many off. I spent so many years thinking tomorrow would be better. Tomorrow I could be happy. Tomorrow I could be fulfilled because something would happen. Just something's going to happen. You know, Ed McMahon's going to knock on my front door. Or something's going to happen that's going to be great tomorrow. And I was always waiting for tomorrow for the joy and the excitement about life. And I decided I have to wait till tomorrow. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to experience His presence. Thirdly, God's will for us is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The longer you're a Christian, the more you realize that God wants us to be more like Jesus. And when you realize God wants us to become more like Jesus, the more you'll come to the conclusion that is completely impossible. And the only way that we can become more and more like Jesus is by getting help from another source, the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, and it's one of the most important things I will ever say. The life of Jesus is impossible without the life of Jesus. Think it through, man. We try to live this Christian life through the rules, through the standards, through what somebody else has taught us is the Christian life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the life of Jesus Christ cannot be lived without the life of Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit birthing the life of Jesus within us. You can't work it up. You can't make it happen. You can't go through the motions. The filling of the Holy Spirit is what happens as we yield to Him, as we let Him have control of our eternal life. God wants you to have the power to live the kind of life that He has for you. And our job is to only say yes to Him. That's it. That's all we have to do, is just simply say yes to Him. Look at verse 9. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, all we really need to do is apply God's will. God wants the Colossians to not just vaguely know God's will, but to be up close and experience God's will. God's will specifically affects their lives. Now, we've talked about general desires that God has for all of us, but what about the specifics? How do I find out about the specifics of God's will in my life? How do I find out? Number one, simple stuff tonight. Nothing deep. I just wanted a night of worship and prayer and just kind of some stuff to encourage us. How do we find God's will for our life? Number one, pray. Okay? Pray. That's the whole point here. Paul is praying that God would show the Colossians His will. Don't expect God to clear up the picture with one prayer. Sometimes we're going to have to pray before it becomes clear what God wants. Sometimes things aren't going to come out exactly like we're wanting them to. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he had a desire to visit Rome. Paul asked the Romans to pray for him. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said, I really want to come and visit you guys. So I want you to pray for me concerning my visit and concerning the possible persecution that he might face in Jerusalem. Turn over to Romans 15 or read it with me over here. I'm reading out of the New Living on this one. Verse 29. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will give me a great blessing for you, dear friends. I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the Christians there will be willing to accept the donation I am bringing them. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a happy heart and will be an encouragement to each other. How did it turn out? Well, Paul went to Jerusalem, was arrested, but instead of being killed, he was put in jail for 2 years, then shipped as a prisoner to Rome to visit the Romans. Did Paul find out God's will? Absolutely, eventually. Some of it turned out the way he was praying. He wasn't killed in Jerusalem. He ended up in Rome. But some of it didn't turn out the way he expected because he came to Rome as a prisoner. Are you following me? See, we pray, we ask God, but we will not necessarily always see that God's will is the way that we ask Him to fulfill it. So number one, we find God's will, we pray. Number two, simple thing, God's Word. It's in the Bible we get familiar with God's voice. When I answer the phone, I am sometimes able to recognize the voice on the phone. Because I'm familiar with that voice. Don't you hate it when somebody calls and they don't tell you who they are and you don't recognize the voice and right away they're right into your life and they're talking about stuff and you don't know whether you want to talk about that stuff or not because you don't know who you're talking to. Have you ever had that problem? And you're going, oh, yeah, okay. And you're asking kind of questions, hoping that something will reveal who it is. Don't you do that? You're into this conversation 10 minutes now. It's a little embarrassing to say, excuse me, who are you? You know, so you're just kind of going through the motions there. You know, I wonder if sometimes we pray, we're not praying enough. God's saying, excuse me, you know, and who is this again? You know. We can grow in recognizing God's directing us of us if we spend time in His Word. God gives us guidance in His Word for what we need to be doing. Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're going to find that God's Word has a whole bunch to say about how we ought to live and what we ought to do. Here's a question. Are you reading your Bible and paying attention? I'm not just saying reading your Bible. I'm saying, are you reading your Bible and paying attention? For some, the place to start is to read your Bible. You're not reading the Bible. For others, you've gotten to the place where you regularly open the book and you read it, but you're not paying attention to what you're reading. And here's where I struggle from time to time. I'll read every day because I'm in the habit, but sometimes I don't pay very much attention to what I'm reading. And when that happens, can you really say God spoke to you this week? What did He say? Can you show me the verse? So many times I have to stop and just discipline myself and say, what did I just read? What was that? And I have to go back and say, okay, I will pay attention. And I hate to say, sometimes there are phone calls that I get that I have no idea what they're talking about. And you get into those phone calls too? They just go on and on and on. Those people that call and you can just set the phone down. And every 10 or 15 minutes just walk by and say, you know, and go on and clean the house or do what you're ever going to do. Because they have no idea that you're not there because they don't even take a breath. All right? I think sometimes we pray that way too. Dear Heavenly Father, here I am in Jesus' name, and I have these needs. Would You please take care of these things and bless me? And you know, we go on and but you know, He wants to tell us some stuff, and we don't give Him a chance to do that. Man, there needs to be a communication that way. Verse 10: That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Three things result when we are filled with the right understanding of God's will for our lives. Number one, we have the ability to live in a way that pleases God. Anybody want to do that? You want to live in a way that pleases God? Okay, all six of us? All right. All right, you got it. The rest of you raised your hands. That's cool. Okay. Well, that's a result of being filled with the right understanding of God's will. We have the ability to live in a way that pleases God. Secondly, we'll see results in what we are doing. We'll bear fruit, it says. And thirdly, we will grow in our relationship with God. If, in fact, I desire to know God better, then I need to pay attention and do the kinds of things that God is showing me to do, following His will for my life. And then verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. We might say, powered with all power according to His glorious might. So it's a matter of receiving His strength. This is the second request of Paul. The first was to know God's will, to be strengthened. The level of strength is God's kind of strength. This can only be done through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 11. For all patience and long suffering, here's a word, with joy. The reason we need God's strength is because patience is so difficult. Anybody else have a problem with patience? There are two kinds of patience mentioned here. Patience is the word hupotomi, means under plus remain. So that means steadfastness, constancy, endurance. The characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose by even the greatest trials and sufferings. A patient enduring of tough times. The antiquated train on a branch line was creeping very, very slowly through the countryside when suddenly It just came to a dead stop. Well, the only passenger in the car, a salesman riding the line for the first time, asked the conductor why they had stopped. The conductor said, "Well, sir, nothing to worry about. There's a cow in the tracks." In about 10 minutes, the train got underway again. But after chugging along for a mile or two, it again ground to a halt. "Just a temporary delay," the conductor said. "We'll be on our way shortly." The exasperated salesman asked, "What is it now? Did we catch up with the cow again?" Okay. That's not the kind of patience we're talking about here. We can only be patient with God's strength. Long-suffering, that's another word. Macrothumia means long plus burning. Patience, endurance, long-suffering, showing and avenging wrongs. And this patience is being patient with difficult people. Anybody have difficult people in their life? Don't answer. Okay. The love expanders. The ones that come into your lives and you say, "Thank you, Jesus. I prayed that you would teach me how to love, but I thought you would send me a bunch of loving people. That would be the way to teach me how to love." No. So you send me this unlovable, unloving love expander. And you are going to teach me how to... Nobody has those people in their life. We all have them. But here's the kicker. Ready for this? We're also love expanders in somebody else's life. Okay? They feel about us like we do that other person when we come into their lives. And they go, "Thank you, Jesus, for putting Pastor Chuck in my life." Deborah K. Johnson writes this. She says, "My 7-year-old daughter wanted to take violin lessons, so I took her to a music store to rent an instrument. Hoping she would understand the importance of practicing, I explained that violin lessons are very expensive, so she would have to work hard. 'There may be times when you feel like giving up,' I said, 'but I want you to hang in there and keep on trying.' She nodded, and then in her most serious voice, she said, 'It will be just like marriage, right, Mommy?'" Sometimes the difficult people to be patient with are those closest to us. That doesn't mean you should be sitting here tonight saying, "I hope she listens. Okay. I hope he's getting this, man. Jesus, anoint Chuck now, would you? You know?" That's where you need to, you know, just cry out, "Come on." You know. Joyfulness. Joy, gladness. The purpose of being strengthened is so that they might endure both hard times and difficult people, and all the enduring to be done with joy. It's not a complaining, "I have to put up with these wretched people, but I'm a Christian, so I will do that. I will love them in this way. Aren't I wonderful?" You know? That's not what it's talking about, man. It's a joyful patience with people. Just a joyful patience. The key to having joy and patience is looking to the future. Is there a reason for the wait? Will God honor that patience? Will God do stuff, man? I mean, I can sit tonight and tell you some of the most difficult people to get along with in my life and in ministry are now, you know, involved in ministry and pastoring places and stuff like that. Don't ever tell him this, but one of the most difficult people for me to deal with for many years was a guy I had teach 2 weeks ago, and that was Bill Welsh, who has a fantastic church now. God's using him in Huntington Beach, one of the best worship leaders, you know, around, just a great, and he was here and you all enjoyed him. He was my first worship leader. He was the first one that caused me not to like musicians, Lance. Okay. But God has used that man, and he's one of my best friends. But there were times when I just, "Bill, go away." take your stupid guitar and get out of my life. And then we'd have to throw both of them out of our house. 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're still sitting there. Can we pray some more? Yeah, I'm praying you'll get out of my life. I want to go to bed. Go away. You know, and some of the most difficult people that I've ever dealt with are the people that are today really moving with God and things are happening. So is there, you know, a reason for the wait? Let me just close with this poem. There once was an oyster. Why would somebody close with a poem, you know, in a Bible study about an oyster? Who knows? It just seemed good when I wrote it. Now it seems stupid, okay? But have patience. Putting up with me, there will be an end result that's going to be good. Because someday you'll say, he turned out okay. Maybe. There was once an oyster whose story I tell, who found that sand had gotten under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse out the government, call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled by, as the years always do, and he came to this his ultimate destiny, stew. And this small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was a wonderful pearl all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if we'd only begin with all of the things that get under our skin? Isn't that cool? I would like to tell you I wrote that, but I would not even want to tell you that, actually. Let me close with this. I'm not going to close with that. I can't close with that, man. Near the end of his life, Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I guess all I wanted to say to you tonight, and I just want to say this, man, God knows what He's doing. Let Him finish what He's doing. Let Him finish what He started. There's a pearl in there somewhere. There's something good that God is going to do. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get off the path. Don't say this isn't worth it. Don't say I can't take anymore. Don't say this is too painful. Don't say this doesn't make any sense. Don't give up. Just simply allow God to finish what He started, and the end result will be absolutely beautiful. Stop running, man. Stop trying to find the next thing that's going to fulfill you. And just submit to Jesus and say, Jesus, if this is where you have me, I'm completely satisfied. Jesus, I'm okay with whatever you want to do in my life because you've chosen to use me whatever way that you want to. Well, there'll be a quiz next Sunday about the oyster, okay? Let's stand, shall we? Yeah, bail me out, would you? Thank you. Yeah, not after what I said about musicians, right? Oh, Jesus, we love You. Lord, we just thank You for the encouragement of Your Word. Simple tonight, Lord, and that's the way that I wanted it to be, just to sit here and worship You tonight and then just talk about how wonderful Your will is. We can grow in our knowledge and our understanding of You. And it's so simple and so easy. We just need to settle down and stop striving and stop trying to make it so difficult and so confusing and just relax in You and allow Your will to just begin to happen in our lives. Oh, Jesus, my prayer tonight before we ever started is that we would all leave here tonight more excited about You than when we walked in, Lord. Maybe not having more information, not learning some deep spiritual truth, but somehow there would have been a revelation of You through the worship, through the study of Your Word, that You would touch our hearts. And there would be something that would just set us free. and we'd leave here tonight so excited, so full of joy, because you truly are the Lord of our lives. Thank you, Jesus.